Can you welcome Jay with me?
What a tremendous honor for us to be here. I said to the group this morning, so this is bad because it's been a year and 11 months for me, so I got this major overflow, you know, going. So, and I'm just trying to etch out a little piece for us this morning, which is going to be a fun piece. But we love your pastors very, very much, the staff. I love motivation. I also said to Pastor Sean this morning, I said, you know, I got a bad Jones going. Not for just Travis, though, but just to be here. Yeah, I think, you know, we gave Travis away, but we got Travis plus, and we got that young lady right there. I can tell you that right now. Now, she wasn't introduced to me as the one working with the young people, but they didn't have to tell me that, and I can't wait to speak over her. Got a great future with this girl, so this is going to be great. Amen. My better half, she wasn't here this morning, so, you know, it wasn't quite all there, and it's not everything's just perfect, but now she is, and so if you don't mind, you know, there are some churches I go to, they don't think she exists because she just doesn't go there, but she's always here when we're here, so if you don't mind, just let her stand, let you see how beautiful she is. It remains, as it always has, an honor for us. Humbling still after all these years. And we still feel so privileged to be a part of Cornerstone and especially to her future. I want to say some opening things to us this morning before I begin out of the scripture. We have entered into the greatest moment that we have ever known in our church history. There are some that are older than me, so I'm at 40 years, Linda and I, in the kingdom. There are some here that are older. There were things that he put in our hearts from the very beginning, things that we believed God would do. And in some ways, they haven't yet happened, it seemed. And there seemed to be a delay, which sometimes is not always easy. And it did seem like maybe the prophetic word wasn't really true, or the promise wasn't really true, or we were just dreaming. But I want you to know everything we've ever known about the church world came to an end in December of 2016. Now, just stay with me. Something happened then. I want to tell you by quoting it out of the scripture. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1. I'm probably going to come out of this chapter with the leaders tomorrow morning, most likely. I'm not sure about Monday night yet. We'll see maybe more on the glory. But it's a beautiful thing when the Lord speaks. I've always known this verse needed to happen, but I just simply took my place as a watchman all these years, knowing that there was only one hope for us. It wasn't a hope, it was a hope. It was in Him. There's some things that only God can do. Only He can do. That's why the scripture is so beautiful, to know them and to see them and understand them. You're going through the Bible, what an amazing thing. And so I knew that it's beautiful when He speaks through men, and I love prophecy, and I'll be doing some of that all week, and I love it. I do it every week, 4 or 5 days a week. I just love prophecy. I love the Lord speaking to people through a man. I think it's beautiful, or a woman. I love the declaration of His word through a preacher, which is many times a prophetic thing. I love the dreams and the visions and the encouragements we get from each other. I love all those things. I believe all those things. They're powerful. But nothing is like God Himself speaking into the earth. When the Lord speaks in the earth trembles at the voice of the Almighty. That's our Bible. And so the earth has been shaking since December of 2016. I wish I could have told you last January, but I couldn't, so I'm just saying it now. But it's a positive thing for you and I. Absolutely positive. But the entire world is shaking. Listen to His voice out of Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah, the most prolific messianic prophecy. This comes after two prophecies, one about His incarnation, Isaiah 60, Isaiah 61, about His ministry and His ascension. This comes after that. But listen to these words, they're beautiful. For Zion's sake, that is what Israel is to be in a spiritual way, but it speaks to you and I. For the sake of the church and for His people, I will not keep silent. See, there was a degree of His silence, though He spoke. There's a degree that of things He didn't say. But when He speaks, everything has changed. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace till righteousness goes forth as brightness and salvation as a lamp that burneth. When the Lord declared his voice in the earth in December of 2016, everything changed. I could not believe it. I wondered, would he wait till my son's day, wait for my grandchildren? I didn't know when he was going to do it. And if he did it in our day, I was going to be glad. But I was standing believing this, that whatever he said he would do it. And so I want you to know this morning that the righteousness of God is going across the earth. It doesn't matter what anyone says. It doesn't matter what the kings of the earth say. It doesn't matter what the news says. It doesn't matter who's governing. He is the one that's declared it. The righteousness is going forth as brightness and salvation as a lamp that burneth. I want to encourage all the grandmas, all the grandfathers, all the uncles, all the aunts, all the dads, all the moms. I want you to know salvation's coming to our homes in an unprecedented dimensions. It's coming to our families in unprecedented dimensions. It's coming to our schools, our universities. It's coming to our nation, and the nations of the world are going to see the salvation of our God. It isn't starting someday. It has already begun. Listen, the greatest days we've ever known have started, and I want to say this to you, the greatest days are yet to come. Let me quote verse 2 because we're already in verse 1. And the Gentiles shall see your righteousness. The righteousness went forth in verse 1. But I've been so longing because I get a little sick and tired of the way we are sometimes. I get a little tired of the way they treat us, the things they say. I don't watch certain TV shows because of the mocking of the Christians. I understand. We let them in some places we shouldn't have. Maybe we did some things we shouldn't have. We're just people. The only thing that makes us different than them is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. Otherwise, we're the same. But there's a righteousness that's coming to the people of God. Don't be afraid of it. It's great. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And that which is to remain will remain. I want you to know we've got a kingdom. Yeah, that's right. Cannot be moved. Amen. Our God, yo, he is the consuming fire. And the world's about to find out. He loves the world. So this isn't an anger issue. This is an almighty, sovereign, divinity move of God. Only he could do it. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings shall see your glory. They're going to see something that isn't present right now. They're going to see something that we've been living in some dimensions, in some ways, without. The king in the United States, no matter who's the king, will see our glory. The king in Brazil, the king in Argentina, the king in Bolivia, the king in Cuba, the king in the nations of Africa, the king in Russia, the king in the Soviet Union, the king in the Philippines, the king in Korea, you name the king, he will see our glory. Something's happening with us. Something sovereign God is doing in a way that we didn't even realize. But that's just the beginning. Just the beginning. There's some things that we need to continue believing for, but there's some things I want us to just be willing to receive. Exodus chapter 33. He goes on to finish that verse, and you'll be named by a new name, which I shall give you. It's beautiful. Can't even touch any of that now. Great chapter. But I'll tell you what, this is the day. I so appreciate you shouting a little bit. I do, because sometimes I've shared this for an entire year in different ways, different forms, different things. Sometimes some of the Christians look at me and go, I don't mind that, but I love when we kind of get that. You know, you can't do this because the person next to you is not going to enjoy it much, but I'm doing it for us. Is that all right? Yeah, some of the spouses are thinking, oh, that would be pretty nice. Maybe we should have the men and women together tonight. No. One verse. It was a man's cry. It was in his heart when he saw it. It was in his heart when he was in it. I believe it is in our hearts and has been there. But this morning I want to ignite it. I want us to have a new passion. It was the same one Moses had, but Moses could never, ever have and see what God has intended for you and I in the day that we're living in. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. You've read it already. On top of Mount Sinai. And he said, I beseech thee. It's a cry. Show me your glory. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I feel so privileged to be able to be a part of the declaring of your word. Linda and I both, we're humbled. If I could do it from a face-down position, it's just how I feel, I would. Humbled to be a part of your declaration, your activity, your work. So love it. Your incredible passion for the world. Your incredible passion for the church, the bride, the body of the living Christ. Father, this morning, I'm asking and believing and praying for the revelation of Jesus Christ to be ours. Begin with me. The revelation of the kingdom of God. Begin with me. Begin with us. Awaken us to the reality of the moment. What a day. It isn't a day of arrogance or cockiness or that's right. We'll show you. Oh, no. It's a day of humility and an honoring and a giving of glory to our God. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. This verse is, at this moment, you've read through it. I love the Pentateuch, especially this Exodus moment. This glory of God is in the earth. You see, it's on this Mount Sinai. It's something the children of Israel are looking at. It's thick darkness, and out of it is lightning and thunder. God is in the midst of it, and he calls Moses up into it. When this dark cloud sat on Mount Sinai, you have to know that the mountain shook like this. The glory of God does something to all the mountains, all of them. So what you hear, I want to come back to this in a moment, because we have to understand this. What is this? It was darkness as Moses is writing about it. All the writers will write what they see because it's an image so they can write it. They don't really know. Even when it came into Moses' tabernacle, it always would come between the cherubims. When he built the ark, you read it, was that they were the cherubims of glory because the glory of God came between them and he spoke from between the cherubims. All of Moses' tabernacle was a shadow of something that was up here. All of it was a shadow of something up here. Something was being revealed. Even the Hebrew writer will say, we want to tell you much about this, but we can't at this moment. Even when the tabernacle was built, it would come as a cloud and it would fill the temple. It looked like it was a cloud. Smoke sometimes it'll be seen. And no one could get in it. It was this substance. It was this atmosphere. It was something. They were just right. This is what it looked like. Well, I've got to take us to the origin. Where it came from here onto Mount Sinai. So I got to bring us back here. Before even Moses. Before Abraham, Noah. Before Enoch, none of them experienced this glory. Only Moses was the first. It never was in the earth before. I've got to come back here before even creation, everything visible, even everything invisible. I've got to come back. There was just the three of them in eternity. They were one, three. The Father, who is the dreamer. Oh, man, dreamer. Dreamer, just look around. Look at our faces. How is it possible? Not one fingerprint alike? Yo, that's not even dreaming. That's like, dreamer. The Word who will be incarnated, we know him as Jesus the Christ, Emmanuel by the prophets, God with us. He would speak. We know he just spoke. Didn't even touch the ground, touch the earth, spoke into dirt, and it became what? When God speaks, everything changes. I told you that already. Everything changes. When he speaks, I love when he speaks to me. This is fun, enjoyable. We get encouraged. When he speaks, yo. Then there's the Spirit, the architectural worker, the power. He's always been here. See, there was something back here that was always going to be their passion. We're learning it. They had a fellowship, an intimacy, a love that was beyond anyone's comprehension. I said it earlier, Linda's here. I said, I have a love for Linda that just beats all day. She for me, but it has, is incomparable to this love. That's why he tried to let the world know through history, God so loved the world. We're just kind of like, well, okay, whatever. Oh, I had no idea the passion of that. Love the world, loves the world. How much then does he love his church, his people, his... Oh. They shared this incredible preferring, and their dream was that when they created, creation would have the same fellowship with them and they could have it with each other. They then began to create. I'm still in this. There's nothing here. There's no nothing. Then they created angelic beasts, seraphim, cherubim, innumerable. They were here for a reason, a purpose, so important. They give him glory. The Hebrew word is kabod. It's usually kind of like weighty, but it's more, not like heavy, but it's like, oh, oh, wow. It's still beauty, splendor, magnificence. That's always the words describing his glory. The word doxa is a New Testament word. It has three dimensions to it. It means, first, a thought. If you could look in my mind, I'm thinking, ooh, Linda's beautiful. It's the beginning of glory. Then the next dimension is I say it, what I thought. And so I say, Linda, you're beautiful. See, I'm giving Linda glory. But there's the glory of the moon, of the sun. So there's... that was a good football game. Man, that guy's great at basketball. You're doing the same. What a great golfer. You're just telling what you said. That's the, but the depth of doxa is the expression to him. And we give it. We say, Jesus, you're, oh, we did it this morning. That's why he said, if two or three gather together, there I am. Of course he's there because we're saying, hey, what do you think? Jesus is awesome. Yes, yes, yes. He's there. He was here this morning. Dimensional always. So you see how it grows. It's this expression. Jesus Christ will become the ultimate revelation of the glory of God. He is the express image. In his likeness, he is the glory of God incarnate, manifested, fully manifested. We're going to learn, I can't do it this weekend, maybe some Monday night, maybe, but listen to this. There's a hope of glory in the world, and that is Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's a riches in glory. Not in... Okay, so. The angels are up here, coming back. You with me? They're giving him glory. You see, it's the atmosphere, if you don't mind me saying it, that he lives in it. It's like my air. He doesn't have to breathe it in. They give it to him because he's deserving of it. The prophet Isaiah will be the first one. He'll kind of have this view, and King Uzziah dies, and he's looking up, and he has a vision of God, of the Father, sitting on his throne, the king upon his throne, and he has this robe, it's fiery, and the angels say one to another, not to him, they look, and they go, whoa, and the angel looks at another angel and says, holy, holy, holy. They didn't teach him that. They couldn't help but say it because he is. They didn't say it to him. They said it to each other. They gave him glory. That's what they do. And we know that Daniel will see the same thing almost. Daniel will see him in his temple and his fire. Well, he doesn't have fire on him, but the glory of God has this fire. And it's all through the temple. And they, this thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, ministering unto him. When Isaiah sees him, the whole temple's filled with smoke. There it is, smoke. It's glory, but it's smoke, and it's so powerful, it shakes the doorpost. You see, when there's glory, shakes everything. John will have the best view. He's in the Isle of Patmos, 90 plus years old. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and all of a sudden he hears a voice, and the voice says, come up hither. And he looks up, and he goes up hither. No elevator, no plane, nothing. He just goes up. Yeah, you know I love that. And there's a door there. There's a door. Now, it's open. Maybe it was closed at one time. I don't know. Jesus did a lot of good stuff. I know one thing. He was a forerunner up there for us, that we might go in the same way and the same style, that there was a place for us there. Maybe more than we realize. So he gets up there and he looks in. Look in with me. And he sees a throne and a lamb. And he hears the angels saying one to another. And these seraphims are shouting, crying, holy, holy, holy. But he doesn't see smoke. He doesn't see fire. He doesn't see a cloud. He just sees God getting glory. And the elders fall down with their crowns. And they say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is he who sits upon the throne. Then others are writing it. And this whole thing's taking place. It's in heaven, but the heaven is filled with the glory of God because they are glorifying him in heaven. So glory and heaven are not the same thing. But glory is in heaven because heaven is full of the glory of God. Whew. Good? Ah. Now, something's about to happen that has never happened. That dimension, that atmosphere that he dwells in, he doesn't dwell out of it. Wherever he is, it's there. He just draws it. They don't have to get Brendan up there. Okay, where's the beast? I told them practice starts at 9 o'clock. Wait, where are they? Where's the angel 7,850 billion? Stop talking. He's gonna come out of his office. We got to get ready. Come on. What are you guys doing over there? Come on. Where's the elders? They're eating? Oh, man. Come on. God's going to be out here. You know how he is if we don't do the thing. You know, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, no, no. See, that's why I want him here. I don't mind him visiting. Thank you. I don't mind when he puts his hand in the earth. But when he's standing here among us, you can't help but to say, holy, holy, holy. Just can't help it. Yeah, but people said, don't do it. Can't help it. Can't help it. That's what we're believing for. All of a sudden, here it comes. It sits on Mount Sinai. It's a dark cloud. It's shaking Sinai. Lightning's and others. It's so fearful that the children of Israel go, yo, Big Mo, uh-uh. You go talk to me. I have no part of this. They went like this. They hid. Like this. Moses goes up into it and he has this cry. I want to see your glory. It's amazing to me though, what the Lord says to me. He goes, I'm going to pass by and let you behold all my goodness, all my splendor. It's all part of glory, but you cannot see my face. You will not live. He was right. No one can see the face of God until the one known as the Christ is born. He will change it all. I want to say a couple things that glory does. First of all, I said it once already, is it shakes mountains. There's mountains that everyone's building, people build, standing before us. They'll shake the mountains. We won't have to be afraid or concerned. The second thing it does is every time there was a rebellion, go through, as you're going through, mark them. Sinai, when they got to Sinai, it was only 3 months after they were delivered through the Red Sea. 3 months. I mean, here I am 40 years later from the first miracle. I'm still like, oh, my God. 3 months? 3 months, they're like this. I knew he brought us out here to kill us. I can't believe it. I'm so sick of this. What is this, manna? What is this? Well, that's what manna is. What is it? I don't know what it is. Tastes like honey. Man, I used to like the lox, the bagels. I liked all that stuff that we had back there. I can't believe it. You know, Moses brought us up here to die. You know, we should start. We don't have to hear Moses. Like, we should just get together and do our. They just started that attitude. Have you ever had? I have it. The glory of God comes down upon the tabernacle. Every mouth shuts. Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't really like that Moses. I know. I can't stand him. What do you think, kids? Yeah, we don't like him. It does something only it can do. Think about it, please. I've got to finish. 40 years, they rebelled, argued. The New Testament will say this about them. They were hard-hearted and resisted the Spirit of God for an entire generation. Yet, that glory and this God of theirs, every night would have a pillar of fire, 600,000 men that would warm them in the Sinai, which can get below zero. Every day, a cloud the size of Rhode Island was over them so they would not get sunburned. They didn't like him. They despised him. They wished he never brought them out of Egypt. That's how they thought the entire time. He fed them 6 out of 7 days. He brought water out of a rock. He didn't even let their clothes wear out. Yet they never entered into the promise. That's not the promise. That's just him being who he is. So for you and I, it doesn't really matter what this economy does, though we're a part of it. It doesn't really matter what Wall Street says or where the gold market is, though we're a part of it. It doesn't matter what this world is declaring, even though we're a part of it. Absolutely. That is not where our sustaining comes. The Lord had never intended just to care for us, not this generation, because it's been our cry. We thank you, but we want all. You are our portion. And so his intent is, please hear this, the glory of God isn't something we're going to have to ask for or believe for. It's a passion he's igniting in us that we want to behold your glory. We want to see Jesus Christ in full manifestation in our homes, in our lives, in our cars, in our businesses, in our schools, in our world, not just in this nation, but all the nations of the world. Listen, he said to Moses, listen, I'm sick of this. I'm going to kill them all and start with you. I would have said, dude, best thing I ever heard. That's why I wasn't there. Moses says you can't do it. You can't do it. Then the Egyptians and the whole world said you could deliver them, but you couldn't keep them. And he said, okay, fine. Fine, okay, he said. But I'm going to tell you this, Moses. This is how I read my Bible. What are you going to tell Moses? I'll tell you this, Moses. As I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. History has never recorded it from the day Jesus walked on the earth. Why not here? Why not now? I want to say this to you. It's already on its way. It causes things. I can't even begin. Let me just do one. Listen, Paul said it very clearly to the Corinthian church. Maybe I'll come back and do some of this on Monday. I'm not sure how we'll work it. He said, look it. Every man beholding, as it were, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. See, we were to peer into it. Are changed into that same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. We were never to live without it. It was never to be this thing we would go to in the future. It is heaven. I'm so thankful for it. But he intended the heaven and the earth to be filled with the glory. The angel declares to Isaiah, the whole earth is to be filled with the glory of God. It's been this boy's passion and longing. I wasn't sure if we would see it in our day. But I'm here to tell you. Desire. Passion. I want to see your glory. It isn't a thick, dark cloud. It isn't some smoke. It is the revelation of full manifestation of Jesus Christ. People will say, listen, and we see you, we see him. But it'll do something to us that we need to happen. You can't tell Jay LaRue to be holy. But when Jay LaRue is in the midst of that dimension of God, he's holy. And you don't have to ask me, I'd rather be holy than carnal. I want you to stand up with me for a minute. Then I just want to take a little time in the room. Oh, man. Oh, it's still going. It's going down. Oh, I still have time on the original clock? Is it? Am I over my time? Or still have time? Yeah. Yeah, is that right? Wow. So I got a little more than, I got 9 minutes of the first part of this. It's good. You all right? You want to add anything? Okay. Did you get it? I did it as simple as I could. Are you good? It happens here. This is what I'm just step up into it. I love it. I have to be here. Once you hear this, I appreciate this. I need this. I appreciate all music. I don't have any music, but I want you to hear this. Once you hear them say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who was slain." The Lamb, hear them, give Him glory. It just alters us. Then what we do is we take it with us. See, this glory is going to be in us because the hope of it is Christ in us, the hope of the glory. It's going to be in us, through us. I can't touch Ezekiel's prophecy. I can't even go there at this moment. Out of us, but around us. It's everywhere. You won't be able to breathe without it. I just got to do one thing before I pray, okay? Incredible. The whole earth shall be filled with the revelation and manifestation, splendor, beauty, and majesty of the person of Jesus Christ. You can't help but to say, "Thou art worthy." Father, this morning I just pray, as I did earlier, for the revelation of Jesus Christ to be ours. In all of us, bring a new passion, awaken us, as I had, awaken this. It's in all of us. We want to behold your glory. It was always your intent. It wasn't for some special person, special man. It was for us. He is the firstborn. He is the one who has brought many sons to glory. You're bringing us to glory. That was the intent. We're your sons and daughters, and we feel the intent to glory. You brought us to glory. We as the disciples want to behold your glory. Let it be in demonstration in character and nature. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How about you giving the Lord a hand for me, okay? And sit back down. Are you good? Yeah, no, it was like, yeah. We're good? Yeah. I wasn't kidding now when I did the Travis thing. Yeah, it was so fun meeting you over here. They introduced us like we knew each other, you know. Yeah, and you had that thing already. Jay LaRue, you got to say Jay LaRue. You can't just say Jay, got Jay LaRue. And I just thought, yeah, this is my girl. Same fathers, yo, just different mamas. Yeah. But there's been this gospel from your great-grandfather to your grandfather to your immediate family, but it really came on your mom's side. There just was this incredible, not just, it was this artistry, song mostly, but then really within your mom and your grandmother, the Lord really began to evolve this love for the word, especially the love for the scriptures, and really the love for a demonstration of him. There was this cry in your feeling for the awness of God, the power of God, the manifestation of his power. And really the Lord was good in all those generations. Your great-grandmother and your grandmother really suffered. They had very difficult lives, and they held on to the promise of God. See, that's what's so amazing when I look back, and I'm going back in those generations, listening to their cries, listening to their prayers, is without you realizing it, the Lord was gathering them up and was going to begin something in your generation that had not really been in your mom's or your grandmother's, to begin something unique. Doesn't mean it was supposed to be, you know, sometimes people say to me, well, Jay, you're special, you do this. I realize it's none of that. It's that. There was always someone asking, someone praying. I just need to be the one willing to say, yes, Lord, that's it. That's simple. That's it. It's just that, it's really that simple. And allow him to do his work, and you've been that way. Even when, you know, because you always had game, you got athletic ability, you could sing, you've always had this largeness about you, you know, you just did. Travis can't sing or dance, and so you have that over him. See, that was why, you know, he's in the wrong skin as far as I'm concerned. You give me that skin, I could be all over. You know, but Travis was like, you know, he was like more, I just kind of, poor guy, it's just how he did. And I just said, Travis, I said to him, Travis, are you all right? He goes, you know, I'm just dancing. Well, you look like the Tin Man in a rainstorm. I said, it's not right, man. It's just not right. Yeah, right now he's down there like this. I'm like, next bother me. I don't know why. Yeah, because we're talking about you. But anyways, the Lord really, what he was going to do, as he's already doing in this church, Pastor Sean's not here, if he was, I'd declare some things to him first before I did anything. But you're part of the increase. You see, they were going to sow one seed, reap five seeds, sow five seeds, reap 10 seeds, sow 10, reap 100. You're at the beginning of this reaping process. But the Lord is really going to, in here, he's built a good foundation in your life and he's good framing, but you're going to see the Lord. You know, when Moses' tabernacle was built, there was colors and there were jewels and there were certain linens and there were certain dimensions that were invisible, certain dimensions visible. So what the Lord's done with you, he's built the framework, but he's brought you here to start laying the other portions of his ultimate intention, to bring the blues, the crimsons, to bring the golds and the silvers, the bronze, to bring the white, to bring the even the cherubim that was inside and sewn, weaved in to the inner walls of the Holy of Holies, even those things. He's going to work here with you, a depth of knowing him, of understanding him, of the scriptures, even though you'll always be a laboring with young people, but there'll be a day that the Lord will set you as a one full leader, a woman set with other people under her. This is over time now, so I'm careful with you with all this. You know, I always am, but I'm just saying some things out ahead, just so that you know. And when you're facing some things where it feels like it's stagnant, you're just stopped, and there's no real moving forward, that you know that the Lord is the one who brought you here. You know, the beautiful thing about a tree planted is the tree's planted. The bad thing about a tree planted is it doesn't get the opportunity to go where it wants to go. And so we love when the Lord declares us the planting of the Lord until we don't like the planting anymore. Then we kind of uproot. You know, we walk down the street with a big tree like this. And I just don't like it there anymore. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought the Lord planted you. Don't ever let that happen. Make sure it's not a storm, a wind, or a rage, or an issue with the land, or the soil doesn't seem proper, or seem a little tarred, a little dried out, not enough sun. Don't let anything move. Let him be the one. When he transplants you, it'll be a large piece of terra firma from this place. Everything about it will be up into the trunk, up into the trees, and it'll be a fruit, very fruitful, long before he ever does it. Are you following me? Okay. So just know, and it's the beginning of what the Lord is going to be doing within your family. Your family is very large, but you're going to see him begin to touch all the members of the family, large parts of the family. It's because there's some that have really gone astray, gone away, that the Lord's going to answer and bring back and return back. You've got a family of these young Davids, these young Esthers, these young Ruths that are there within your family. Your age younger and your age older. But the Lord really is going to take your family, both sides of your family, dad and mom, especially your mom's side, though, and really cause the kingdom of God to really apprehend them, and then they will apprehend him after he apprehends them. That's going to be how it'll work through. And you'll see the Lord begin to fulfill his will. And especially your great-grandmother is a real travailer. Your grandmother was where things began to change. She prayed, declared, sang. But your great-grandmother had this deep cry in her heart because of the way she lived for the Lord to fulfill his will. That cry, the Lord's returning as if it was a present-day prayer right now in this time period in your life. Fun. I like that. The Lord has even begun to do this very fresh thing within you. This is a little difficult for me because I really would have started with Sean first, but it's okay though. We'll get him when we're back together again. really about the increase of this church and the increase of the dimensions of the Lord here. I'm just speaking out of there what the Lord's already begun here. I'm just declaring it out of there what he's begun here. But with you personally, though, you must know, the Lord, you know, he would once by the prophets would look through the whole earth to find a man faithful. Would he find faith in the earth is kind of the cry, you know. And my brother, you must know how pleased the Lord is with the faithfulness of your life. I mean, I'm back down right now to when you were 12, 13 years old, serving here at that age, 12, 13, even 10 and 11, but 12, 13. Back then, though, and already the Lord, as he knows things that are already going to be, was already so pleased with you, knowing the man he would have. And every time you faced a possibility or it seemed sometimes that it felt like Lazarus's garment sometimes. It just felt like you were in death garment and you just couldn't break out, couldn't be freed. In that time period, you can't see, so you're trying to find yourself and all those things. It just feels like, you know, am I ever going to get out of this? I don't feel dead, but I don't feel alive either. Even then, you stayed so faithful to what you knew was right. And he was very silent during those years. Really, right, 17, 18, 19, then again in your middle 20s was one of the most difficult times, 24, 25, and 26, right in that period. But he watched you as you were steadfast in holding on to what you know is right. You do not realize how honored he was by your life. And so what you're going to see, though your prayer really is much for your children, there's still this place in you that you desire. I mean, it's for me, it's a scream every time I'm with you, no matter if we're just socially or here or whatever we're doing, there's an inward scream that I want to fulfill your will in its fullness. It's always been there, but it is so, at this point, it's at the top. It lives right there within you. But what you don't realize, though, is he absolutely knows, and there is an assurance to you that you will absolutely fulfill his will. He will not allow one piece of it to be short, not one. And he'll carry you all the way, you and your wife and your kids. But this is about you and your love for the scriptures. You've longed for the revelation of God, and he's been good to you. The last 4 years especially, he's been an open word much more than it ever was. But you're going to see the Lord begin to bring a depth to the scriptures that you have not known or seen before. He's the only one that can open up the cataract eye. He's the only one that can cause the light to come in a greater way. He's the only one that can do it. The revelation, I can study all I want, exegete, do all my hermeneutics, do everything. He's still the one who opens it up. It's his. My responsibility is to dig it out. You've been faithful to that. And my brother, you're going to see the Lord begin to open up. Even as things widen for both him and you in a larger portion of ministry outside of this place, you're going to see it here especially, it open up. Though you'll continually write songs, even the song thing is going to alter, and there's going to be some degree of song, but you're going to start writing more of the word because of your experience. Not so much a book about where you've lived, but how God, it's beautiful how God etched you out. You know, if you're going to find a diamond or you're going to find gold, there's got to be some work. And that's exactly what he's done in your life. He's refined you like silver. That's his promise to the priesthood. He's purified you as silver and gold. And the experience I've loved, I know sometimes you haven't, but I've loved it every time I come, especially when you're in that furnace. I loved it. I didn't say I loved it. I just said, okay. But I do. You know why, though? Because we need a man who walks in pure silver. We need a man who walks in pure gold. We got to have that. Then when we have a man, we'll have a people. That's why we had the man, and now we have the people. So this is a great day to rejoice. Your age will not catch up to you. It will not catch up to you. The Lord will continue to have the eagle's wings, and you'll be able to always soar, and there's not a height that he will not draw you to that you will not be willing to go. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, I'm watching my time out there. Are you watching it still? Okay, we're good. Plus, this is the second service, right? Yeah, okay, I'm just walking too fast. Let me look. So are you guys, yeah, you're married, right? Yeah. Stud. Yeah, she's not saying anything. She's just listening, huh? What'd you say? Yeah. So listen, really, the Lord has really moved in your direction, very new, very fresh. Last year was a really new year for the two of you, especially for you. You know, you've always had this kind of game. You and him should be friends, you know. That's just, yeah, because you have that same kind of edge as he does. But you're, you kept it longer than he did. You know, and you just, you really do like the no bounds, you'd be fine if you live in a mountain, live in a tent, and just kind of be running. That's because of the beard. You just like it free. You just like being free. You know, you do. You don't like bounds. You don't like responsibility. You don't like restraints. And, you know, and the Lord's been very gracious with you, though. He's really pulled you very gently. He does that with cords of mercy. With me, kind of got in the headlock. He used the Lindlock on me and said, "You're going to the prayer group and you're getting saved." And I was like, okay. That's pretty much how it worked. Yui's been very gracious. Your grandmother and your parents all prayed for you. Your mom's mom, especially, always prayed, believing for you that your life would be safe. You know, my brother, the Lord, and I'm careful with some of these things, but I just want you to know the Lord has really been places where he's really rescued your life, where your neck would have been broken, that you would have had a life that would not have a lot of future. But he was there just because he's loved you. Even when you would say there's no reason how he could, I could care less about him. It didn't matter. He loved you. And he simply drew you in. And this is the beginning of the Lord establishing you amongst the people of God. Part of it is to her because of his incredible love for her and his care for her and desire for her to have everything she wants. So just understand that a lot of that's happening right now so that this girl gets everything she wants out of you. That doesn't mean we change the head to, we're not doing that. But sometimes the Lord just does that. I know this, that he's doing things in me so that I'm everything Linda wants. I'm okay with that because the reality is that's good for me. It's good for us. I'm in on that. I don't say, well, what about her? I used to say that. It didn't work, so I just stopped saying it. And he said, and I would get that McFly thing, you know, hello, McFly. It's not about her. It's about you, Jay. Okay, I got it. Yeah, I was like in awe. Okay. So this is just the beginning. Even financially, your home and your future, the Lord's come to alter so much. My sister, God is so gracious to mend every wound. Sometimes some of us have things happen in our lives that, with other people wouldn't matter, but sometimes things happen in other people's lives that matter a lot. So in someone's life, when I say, well, that happened, we'll say, that's nothing, but it's something. So I want you to know the Lord is so gentle as he moves into your past just to heal some childhood things, just to begin to recover some things. You know, a lot of times our dads aren't everything we're supposed to be, and a lot of times things happen, and we live without certain things that we should have had and didn't have. It's sometimes no one's fault. It's just what it is. But he does. He comes and fills the gap. It's incredible. He doesn't have to. He just does. Because he wants to bring such a wholeness to our lives to liberate us. And so you look at me now. I look like a pretty free guy, kind of enjoying myself. But there was a day I wasn't so free. Oh, I acted it. But I had attitude toward my father. I had family disappointments, my dad especially. And I carried that with me. So I didn't trust authorities. I didn't trust relationships. I didn't trust men figures. I just didn't. It was my attitude. So the Lord went back there and graciously healed it. Incredible. Without my father. It wasn't about him, it was about me. And he is just in this process of restoring you. It's like he's brought you into the kingdom, and he's just allowing you to rest as he heals and makes whole. But there's going to be a real activity for your lives. You got this, because of your life, you got this nurse's heart, very sensitive to people, very caring of people, especially the hurt ones or the ones that are broken. You're just sensitive. You don't walk by somebody without realizing that, and you defend them too. Somebody starts saying, hey, you don't know. You're like that, you know. We would just walk by them and say, who cares? I don't care. You are very sensitive. So that's why the Lord's making this whole thing whole, but you'll be a part of the healing power of God in the lives of people by word and especially by hand, though. That's how I love nurses. I'm not fond of doctors, even though I am one. I got doctor friends. They just kind of come in. It's broken. Stick a needle. Fix it. Wrap it. The nurse is in there. Are you okay? Everything all right? Even the doctor put a thing in there. Is it hurt? Oh, is it hurt? Yeah. That's why I like the nurse. You know, even though you're not weak, if he starts moaning, you say to him, stop moaning. That's good. But you have this sensitivity. So you have to know, listen, the Lord didn't bring the two of you in here just to heal some things between the two of you, not just to create a great future. all those things he's just doing because of his love and passion for you. He brought you in here to alter the direction and ultimate intention of your life. All of your friends, because you have them, he'll come for them all. It doesn't mean this has to be you, but you're going to see, and your family, girl, is going to feel the sickling power of God, of salvation coming to your family, not just for heaven, but for the, but to bring healing. There's so many divides, so many broken places, so much anger. You don't want to be around holidays just because it's this tension all the time. And you're going to see the Lord bring healing to the tension. You're going to see the Lord deliver that. You're just going to watch him do things. He's going to, you know, only he can do this, though. The Bible talks about it where he bears his arm, the right hand of his power. It's in Isaiah 62, 2. When he does this, only he can do some things with the strength of his might and cause things that cannot change to change. And for you, he is already bearing the strength of his arm. He's not mad at them, angry. You heard me. I don't have to go back to that. But his love for you is his love for them. And you're going to watch as he heals things that just cannot. I mean, on your father's side, there's been generations just fighting and arguing, debating, brokenness on your mom's as well, but on your dad's. Watch what the Lord does in restoration and healing. Are you going to be there tomorrow? Okay. Those guys, they're making fun of you, this couple here. Because he's so exact with his decisions, right? Yeah, he wants to say, you talking to me? You talking to me? He wouldn't do it. Well, I've never seen, this is your wife, obviously. I've never seen her that often. Wow. Yeah, jeez. Beautiful. Yeah, so this would be good because I don't know if she'll be with you, and I don't always see you together. So I just want to say some things, all right? You know, I don't have to go back to, because every time I see you, I know what I've said, which is just how I am. But you know, in the world, the intent was always for you just to move up the ladder, and as they proved you, they wanted you to continually be, and their intent was for you to be the one representing all of them. You know that. That was always his intent. You make that decision, but that's always been the Lord's intent. That out there, that because of integrity, work ethic, and demonstrating the love of God, and what you have though is the no frills, no fooling around, let's get to it attitude. It's just who you are, and all together you're a perfect blend of your mom and your dad. I mean, amazing. You know, you got some of your dad and you got a lot of your mom, but it's a beautiful balance of the two of them. It's remarkable. But it's here in the kingdom of God that the Lord's really bringing the elevation. It's here amongst the people of God that he's really proving you to be a man. The integrity's always been there, the work ethic, the brother. You would never have Cain's attitude. I'm my brother's keeper. Oh, no. You are pure Abel in regards to that. You'd never do that. You would sacrifice to the Lord. You are your brother's keeper would be your words. But here's where the Lord's bringing the elevation. He's just increasing the anointing. He's increasing his presence. He's increasing his word. I know with you're careful. She knows it too, that you take on so much responsibility that you want to make sure you balance home life. I know that your discussion and you're careful with that, but she also is so amazing of a woman that she releases you. She realizes who you are and what you're to do. She doesn't know it though, but the Lord's going to heap upon her and your family incredible blessing beyond what she really could really handle because of her willingness to release you, just so that you know that. And so here, though, the Lord's going to set you in, and as it's not going to be the day of restoration. Your father was lived in a day of restoring and holding on to what was true. You will move forward as Joshua did and move into an inheritance of promise, inheritance of dimensions, the cities of the cities, the mountains, the valleys. You will be a man, and your family and the other men will be ones who inherit like they did with Joshua. The Caleb spirit and the Joshua spirit will rule the men in this house, and that's a great deal of it's going to be you, Sean, Brandon, these men that are already here, but you're a huge part of this thing. From your infancy, that was the Lord's plan. That's why you didn't move anywhere else. That's why the other jobs didn't know. No, that's why there was no moving you away. It was for a larger picture of all of this. And so here you'll see that increase. You must be willing, and this is part of the new, I'm going to say adventure because I like new things and God is adventure. There's going to be a greater intercession and a planned out prayer for the men. Even some of the things I'm going to say this weekend, not just because it's me, but things that the Lord is saying, even your ear is so more acute to the Spirit of the Lord. It really is so more acute to it. Even when I'm speaking, I know it's entering your ear with a full sound. You're getting the whole sound, not just pieces of it. To believe for the glory of God, to believe for the Lord to work out the fullness, the power of God in full manifestation, demonstration, and not just inside this building, but to the world, taking it to the world. Praying for the men of this place. A man will come and introduce him to you. It'll be like his smell will be on your hand. It'll be like his skin will be on your hand, and you will believe for them, the two of you. My sister, listen, I just want you to know the Lord is going to, because you've made financial investments, you've planned your money, but God is going to do some increasing of your finances so that in your home, and even the home you have or the home that you want, he's going to make everything absolutely what you desire it to be. Don't be afraid of reaching out to maybe some things that might be a little more high-end, pricey, this or that. Trust the Lord because he is going to meet you exactly where your faith is. So don't be challenged. Don't have less. Just remember, I don't want to quote all of Joshua chapter 1, but especially all of that. Just remember, listen, Moses is dead. What was is over. Go, conquer. Everywhere you step, it was the word to Abraham. This is the day of the inheritance. No longer fighting in the wilderness, no longer wondering what will be. No, that day is over. It's done. It's finished. It is a new time, a new day. Your family will never, you'll have to remind them of what it was like in your dad's day. Your family will say, "Dad, we don't understand it. The blessing of the Lord is upon us, and it's sure and steadfast." And you'll say, "That's exactly right, son. The Lord brought my dad, your grandpa, through the Red Sea, but he brought us through the Jordan, and we have come to inherit the promises of our God." I'll pray. How about let's have an expectation, not just this weekend, but from here on out until our last breath. Salvation coming to our families and the promise of God and him doing all that he has said, the dreams that we thought, the words that we heard, this is the day to fully embrace them. It beat the buzzers off, whatever it takes, but we're not listening to this wave of the earth. We've got our eyes and ears unto him whom we have to do. He intends to do something he's never done before. Why not here? Why not now? Why not us?